Fred, hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
What's going on over there? Fire?
Ron is dead.
How you doing, Stanky Lane?
High five from everyone.
Took it to the limit.
I have a horrible foot fetish.
Do you?
Let's go, Red Sox.
I'm Leo.
Let's go, Red Sox.
Hear me like a bow, bow, bow.
Go, Red Sox.
Hear me like a bow, bow, bow.
Long dick, but yeah.
Stop the hammering.
Hello. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
Hey, this is Super Bowl champion Troy Brown.
Troy Brown.
Troy Brown. Touchdown!
And I love weird 80s mod rock. So today, I am Troy George.
I am Troy George.
Gnarly.
Come a chameleon. You come and go. You come and go.
Troy George.
Loving movies, if your colors were like my dreams. Red, gold, and green. Red, gold, and
green. 98.5 The Sports Hub. It's Toucher and Rich. 617-779-0985. We're in the Town Fair Tire Studio. Simulcast all over this great nation of ours on NBCSN. And this morning, Fred, once again, he is on vacation. I heard it went off with a bang. You know, no one has excellent vacations more than Fred Toucher. Everything goes swimmingly whenever he seems to go out of town. And I'll say this, and it's not a radio thing. He's not playing it up. Like, for some reason, awful things always happen to Fred. If there's something that can go wrong with travel, it goes wrong. Now, for a while, I blame him because he would book on crappy airlines and book, like, you know, crappy cruises. I don't know why he would do that. There's a track record of horrible business practices with many of the businesses that he would frequent, and I would be like, well, you knew what you were going to get.
Is it like a last second desperation thing? What is it?
I don't know why he would do that, but maybe he just likes the pain. He's like one of those Opus Dei guys from the Da Vinci Code who whips himself.
Got it.
You know, he likes
travel masochist.
That's a great way to put it. Right. A travel masochist. But this time he seemed to do everything right, yet he still ended up having a nightmare of a first day. I think that his flight was delayed by, I think it was 3 hours. And then once he got on the plane, he sat on the plane for 3 hours.
I'm sure the kids were great the whole time.
Well, you see, I don't, like, being delayed sucks. It's not fun. Nobody likes it. You're sitting around an airport, whatever. But I mean, a million times out of a million, I'd rather be sitting in the airport than being on the tarmac.
No question.
It's the worst. And the thing is, too, if you've ever been stuck on one of those planes before, when you're on the tarmac, it, like, I always forget the
C. I think there's a C.
Okay, tarmac. C. Right. Yeah. Well, either way, when you're sitting on the dumb plane on the runway, many times they have to turn off the air conditioning because they can't have the plane for some reason. I don't know why they do it, but it's happened to me before. And there was one time where I was stuck in a plane for 2.5 hours, and there was a woman behind me who was just miserable, and she had this kid who was crying, and it was like something out of a movie. She went up and started walking up and down the aisle because she was just like so enraged, and she had a t-shirt on. As I said, it's like right out of a movie. It said, "All stressed out and no one to choke." So I was like, well, this is obviously the perfect person you want to be stuck with.
Not where I want to be right now.
But that being said, Fred is gone. That means, once again, we have Adam Jones.
Yes.
The sports vulture is going to be in studio this morning as well. But as excited as I am that you're here, I'm not nearly as excited about someone who's going to be here next week.
Oh.
And that is, it looks like we might be getting, not might be,
oh,
according to an email we got yesterday,
there
is going to be a true radio legend in this studio. Because apparently, when we come into work early the morning of March 1st, someone will be broadcasting overnight doing their show from here in studio. Who is that person, you ask?
May I present Princess Leia, my new vehicle.
Amy Lawrence will be here in studio during her show.
Do we know why she's in Boston?
The crate. Wow. Does it matter why she's here?
It really doesn't, I guess.
All I know is that
there's going to be a relationship rekindled. That's a great point. Dan just said in my headphones, over under on Wallet calling in sick that day.
Oh, smart.
No, I'm in.
Smart. No, I'm facing it. I'm going to be here.
All I know is that every time Fred or I criticize the picture in the back, all I know is that every time Fred or I criticizes Amy Lawrence,
yep.
Because coming in, it can sometimes not be the most pleasant.
No.
Listening experience.
I had a great time this morning. I was into it. I was into all the Olympic takes and cheering Lindsey Vonn for her bronze medal. I thought that was good. Coming in second loser, I thought was a good take.
There
you
so?
Go, Jones.
what was that, Amy Lawrence? Oh, that's one of her patent. It's Nortz. Okay, so
you stole that from Belichick. Come on now.
No, that is straight up Amy Lawrence.
Okay.
In fairness, I don't listen to her that much. Like, because when I come in, I'm in the other studio, and like I'm not, the air's off. Like, I'm doing stuff for the show.
You don't listen to her on the way in the car?
No.
Okay.
I do not. Now, Fred, for some reason, once again, maybe it's much like,
I hate listening.
Booking the horrible airlines and cruise companies. Maybe he likes to do this to himself, but whenever he comes in, he seems to hear the worst of the worst. And when he plays it on the show, he'll have Mike pull it sometimes. Because, once again, since it's bad, he wants everyone to suffer. And he wants everyone to hear what he had to hear. So, whenever that happens, there's nobody that just punches out of the conversation more than that guy sitting across from us.
Wallach. I think you're mistaken. I frequently participate.
Look at Wallach. Wallach's even got the arms crossed right now.
Oh,
like, which is the I'm checking out of this conversation pose.
Have I checked out of this conversation? Here I am, baby. Let's go.
That's right. Okay. Now, I don't know if you know the backstory between Wallach and Amy Lawrence.
So you know what? I was getting a little bit of it off air, but catch me up to speed.
Okay. So, and just interrupt me, please.
Sure.
You obviously are.
If I check out of the conversation, you'll know if I don't correct. Yes.
Right. You're obviously trained to just be mute during a conversation that has to do with your old friend Amy Lawrence.
I don't know what you're talking about.
So you guys were friends.
Yes.
Okay. Did you go to college together or what?
No.
Well, how did you guys meet?
Through a mutual friend of ours. She was looking for a contact information for a radio station in Providence that I happen to have.
Okay.
So that's how it kind of
got it.
And then it was drinks and dinner and dancing.
Right.
And
that's exactly
okay.
what it was.
Okay.
Right.
I see. All right. So she went, but it's more than that, though, because she went to your wedding.
Yes,
she
did. The
first one.
Yes, second
okay.
one.
The second wedding.
Second wedding.
Okay, the one that stuck. All right.
Yes,
so,
that's correct.
Okay, so she went to your second wedding. Now, how did she become so much of a friend? Because I know that when we did our wedding,
yeah.
you had to whittle down the list, and it kind of sucked.
Sure.
There were some people who were
yeah.
kind of friends that you weren't.
Sure.
I mean, it's not
yeah.
easy. It's expensive having
mm-hmm.
a wedding.
That's very true.
How did she get on the list? Like, how did she become, she just needed a phone number to, now you're an invited wedding guest.
Well, we became friendly over the years. I mean, she started working here in New England. She worked in Providence. She had a morning drive in Providence for a while for their all sports radio station.
How'd that go?
She's not working there anymore, so apparently not well. No, but she went from there to another radio network where she always lived locally for long periods of time. And because we had struck up a conversation about the business, we became friendly.
Okay, so because you worked with her, she was invited to your wedding, pretty much.
Yeah.
Was Dale Arnold invited to your wedding?
No, he was not.
Well, then,
I think you knew the answer to that before you asked it.
You weren't going to spend $100 ahead on Dale Arnold, though?
No, that didn't happen.
Okay. So the whole just because I worked with him thing is out the window. There was a friendship.
There was a friendship,
okay,
yes.
Okay, all right.
There was.
Right.
I've already told you this.
This is great, Adam. So we were at the Super Bowl last year in Houston,
yep.
and she was doing overnights. Now, she's on like the CBS radio network, so
mm-hmm.
she's using the same stage. Wasn't she on Boomer stage?
No, they gave her like a table next to Boomer stage.
Okay, because
yeah.
I thought that Amy Lawrence overnight was like, using the
no.
same mega, like you're seeing Kiss in concert
yeah.
stage that they have up
yeah,
there.
Sure.
Okay, for some reason I thought she was on this. She's on, so they had, it was like a side stage. It was like
well, the way they did it was she broadcast her from a local radio, like she did in Minneapolis. She broadcast her from a local radio station and then showed up during the day to tape
okay.
some of her things.
So there was so after one of our shows was done, Adam, the three of us are getting up. It's like 10:15 and we're getting ready to go. and, I don't know, try to probably get the free breakfast over at the hotel.
That's exactly what it was. Trying to get out of here before the buffet closes.
So we're taking off, and all of a sudden, have you ever seen Wayne's World?
Yeah.
Okay, remember that part where Stacy just starts walking towards Wayne, and Wayne just goes like, just like, like starts floating out of the way. All of a sudden, we hear this, John! And like almost as if John's feet are stuck in quicksand. Like Fred and I just keep walking like no. And then all of a sudden, you know, she comes and just starts munching on his head and we lost him. So she like
You guys just kept going to the buffet. That's smart. You just
I
leave.
Had nothing to say. Yeah, I mean, you know. So she came up and I apparently she gave you the business.
A little bit, yeah.
Okay. What did she say?
She's like, what's wrong with your guys in the morning? That kind of thing, you know. And then there was the whole, you know, you should defend me a little bit more towards them. And I was like, all right. So in that kind of a conversation, there really isn't anywhere to go.
Yeah, you can't win.
You really can't win regardless.
You're right, Amy. I should, Amy.
So
yep, I love your show,
there's
Amy.
There's the we have not spoken in a while.
Okay.
The two of us.
I haven't spoken?
No.
Okay, so she wanted you to be her knight in shining armor.
Yeah, I put down the sword and the shield. I did not do either of those things.
Now, listen, you know, does she realize, I mean, she understands that she's on the radio. And this is one thing I never understood. If you make the choice, this is something that you have to get thick skin pretty quick.
Like, yes.
If you do what we do and you go on the air, there's going to be people who criticize you. You put yourself out there.
Yeah.
That stuff just happens. So she doesn't understand why someone would be critical of her show. To be quite honest, I don't hear
affiliate,
this stuff.
It's one of those things where they're an affiliate. You're an affiliate of ours. I think that was the reasoning. We're going back a couple of years.
But none of the stuff we've said is just like, I mean, we you know, poke fun at her. But I mean, she took it like seriously.
She's
like,
yes.
Oh my god.
At the time, I don't know how she feels about it now. Again, as I just said, we haven't spoken in a while.
So what are you going to say to her when she... Because the way it's going to work is that overnight...
Yeah, she's going to be sitting in that chair.
No, she's not.
Oh, no?
No. This is my chair.
She'd be in...
not going to be sitting in this studio?
No, I actually don't care what chair she's in. I really don't. I'm not like... I mean, Fred's got his own thing because it's not just because of his chair.
But to your point, it's not going to be like a physical crossover in the studio, I don't think.
You don't believe
so? I don't know where she's going to be. I don't know where they're putting it.
Because Dan seems to think that she's going to be in a production studio.
Yeah, she'll be in a production. She'll be in Riley's studio. Over
okay, she'll be okay. next door.
Well, I don't care if she's in here or not. I just, you know, it's... I mean, do you... Like, are you nervous that she's going to be here?
Not at all.
Yeah, Dan's on his head.
Not at all.
He's on his head in the other room.
No, he has no idea because I didn't discuss it with him. I'm not nervous about this.
But it's that we know you.
No, not nervous about this at all.
Okay.
Not at all.
All right.
When's your first headline? 6?
6 o'clock.
So you can't just roll in at like 6:30. Sorry, guys.
No. Damn it. She was here?
No,
I can't do
that. I timed that wrong.
Not nervous about this.
Okay. So,
which is why she's going to be here during the first segment to push me a little bit to see what's going to happen.
Oh, I want her in studio.
That's fine.
I want her in studio. I want her, because I'm kind of like Switzerland and all this. Like, it doesn't really matter to me. There's weirdness between you and her. There's definitely weirdness between Fred and her. And I just want to sit and just watch it all go down. I want to watch Rome go into flames. Yeah. Just like,
what's the play wall like when she gets here?
There's no play.
Do you just kind of sit here and wait for her to say hi?
I'll go in and say hi to her.
I think that's smart.
All right. No. I don't think you should say hi to her until we're on the air.
Well, and actually, I take it back.
That's
the best plan.
I think we owe it to the listeners to have that moment captured forever.
All right,
here on our airwaves.
If that's the way you want it, I'll play it that way for you.
I think that's the only way to go. Amy, what do you think about that? Thank you, Amy.
That's Bill Belichick. Damn you, certainly.
So that is going to be Thursday, a week from tomorrow.
March 1st.
Oh, so you knew. Okay,
write it down.
All right.
So, I saw the same email you did.
I did, but I knew exactly what day it was. I just saw it was March 1st. I didn't know what day of the week it was.
To look it up. Is that wrong?
Yeah, well, it's, you know.
6 o'clock.
It's kind of proving my point that there's a little more to this relationship.
8 days from now, how many hours is that?
Let's take it down. It's getting here fast.
All right, so
24 times...
this is going to be. And Fred, the great thing is that Fred's out of town, so I know Fred. Like, he like turns off his phone.
That's it. I was going to say, so he doesn't
know.
Are
you going to tell him? Are you going to tell him?
Well, he's going to check all of his emails when he gets back, but Monday morning's going to be hysterical.
Okay.
Like, he's just going to be like, what are we doing? Amy Lawrence is going to be a really? Like, he's not going to, like, there's going to be someone that doesn't want her.
No. All of him is going to think about what you just thought about, having her in the same studio with me.
Oh, yeah.
That's going to be his thing. He's not going to care about, Fred doesn't care.
Fred doesn't care about that, but he also thinks that it's going to be awesomely awkward, of you having to sit together.
Yeah.
And then she's going to do the, why weren't you my, Prince Lancelot, Sir Lancelot. And,
yes.
You know, and yes. defending my honor in front of Fred. Oh, yeah, this is going to be great. Okay, so a week from tomorrow, yes. she'll be awkwardly here in studio.
Sure.
I will, when I get here, like, early in the morning, lock myself in that room so she doesn't wander in and try to talk to me.
I am not allowed to speak to her. Is that the deal?
You are not allowed to speak with her.
What if she comes in during a commercial break of hers and comes speaks to me?
And put a cross up to her forehead and just make her
burn
run.
The mark.
Yeah, I'll just hiss at her.
sure.
And make her leave because there will be no speaking before 6:02 when we hit the air.
All right. Hopefully she brings like a wedding picture or something.
That'd be awesome. Now that might be okay. If she wants to earn favor with us, bring some dorky John Wallach as a youth pictures.
Yeah, bring some good stuff of Wallach.
I'm cool with that. All right. We will get to everything that happened last night. First, here's the CBS Sports. So that's going to be, I'm counting down the days now. Here's the CBS Sports Minute with Boomer Esiason, brought to you by Leonard Strauss, DMD. Boomer tells Mark Cuban that tanking is not the way to end a season. Maybe he should have written this CBS Sports update after the story that came out later last night. Maybe this was written a little too early, because I don't think that's the big Maverick story today that everyone's going to be talking about.
Not tanking.
98.5, the Sports Hub. Toucher and Rich.
Recapping what you missed is Toucher and Rich.
What happened last night?
Sorry, I'm just getting prepared for next week. 98.5 The Sports Hub, it's Toucher and Rich. Got Adam Jones filling in for Fred this morning, and the Bruins, they just keep finding a way to win.
Klefbom gets there first. Threw it over to the near side. Backes powers his way around to check. Back of the net now. Heinen centered. Fired. They score! Dan Heinen back of the net. Von David Krejci in the slot. He goes shelf over the glove hand right under the bar. 3-2 Bruins.
That is a yell, ladies and gentlemen, from Judd Surratt. There are some nights when you just don't have it, and that was the Bruins last night for about two periods. And in those two frames, Boston, they just couldn't find the back of the net despite their best efforts and fell behind 2-0. But a third period offensive flurry wins it for the Bees 3-2, the final score versus the Oilers. I know, John, I talked to you, and a lot of people probably did the exact same thing. Turned on the beginning of the game, went to sleep, and we're like, all right, well, they're down 2-0. They're probably going to end up losing this one. And then you wake up, and you're like, holy hell, these guys ended up rallying. Like, they just have it in them. This team has been able to pull this stuff off for a lot of the season, and the way they end up finishing it off last night was impressive as hell.
It was beyond frustrating to watch. And, Jones, I don't know how much of the game you were able to catch, because like most normal people, when you have to wake up early in the morning, you can't watch a game that starts at 9 p.m. in the evening.
Plus, I was fighting my wife for figure skating coverage.
Oh, I have that same problem sometimes.
I was back and forth.
Either that or curling. So it was beyond frustrating. The Bruins were far and away the better team in the first two periods. I mean, they outshot Edmonton 11-3, I think, in the first period. They had dozens of chances. Cam Talbot was fantastic in net for Edmonton. They were down 2-0 after two, and like a normal person, I'm like, all right, they've had all these opportunities. I'm going to sleep.
They hit iron several times, too.
It just looked like one of those nights.
Yeah. So it was like, it was almost like the first game on the road trip, Vancouver. They were, they're outplaying Vancouver.
Right.
But they were down 6-1 or 5-0, whatever that game started, and they never got into it.
Yeah.
You know, this game was, they're outplaying Edmonton. They're outshot, I think, 29-14 through the first two periods. But in this game, they broke through in the third period, unlike that Vancouver game. And, Bruce Cassidy deserves a lot of credit for his in-game decision-making, dropping Krejci down to the Nash line, moving Nash up to put him on a line with Spooner and DeBrusk. That immediately gets them a goal after Achari gets them to within 2-1.
Mm-hmm.
They even up the game, and then Krejci on that line is able to break through and get the game-winning goal with a little over a minute left. So, you give the Bruins a lot of credit for fighting back and not mailing it in. out on the West Coast. They could easily do that. They have a long break until their next game. I think it's not until Saturday against Toronto.
Yep.
So they have a long break. It's like, we're down 2-0. Let's pack it in for the final 20 minutes. They didn't. And Cassidy seems like he continues to push the right buttons, which is a great sign.
Second night of a back-to-back, too.
Yeah,
still, good push at the end.
It was nice, because Noel Achari finally got the guys on board with about 4 minutes into the third, and you could already tell things were going to be different. And then Matt Grizzlick tied things up just a couple minutes later.
Bruins working furiously. Far corner now to Brusk. Up top, McAvoy fires, deflected in three. They score! Matt Grizzlick took the rebound in the near circle. Talbot down and out. And he drilled it home. The Bruins have tied it at 2 here in Edmonton.
I like Judd Surratt. I do. And I like his call of the games, and I've liked it even more as the season's gone on. I'm wondering if tying it in the third deserves a scream that loud.
You worry if he's going to have anything left in the tank in April.
I would say, hang on, let me hear the first goal.
Yeah,
okay,
good call.
Let's take, because tying it is a big deal,
yep.
Especially when you were down by 2.
Get the first one.
Let's hear the Achari goal.
Bruins send it up the middle. Speeding his way over the line is Achari to the right circle. Send it off the side of the cage. Back of the net, wraparound attempt, they score! Noel Achari goes wraparound.
All right, I'm okay with that. He was in danger of being an over-screamer for a minute.
Yep.
But tying it up, I think that's worth a little bit of a scream. And the winning goal, with a minute left, like Krejci scored.
Yeah.
All right, so I'm good job, Judd, good job. For a moment there, I thought we were a borderline over-screamer, but...
You think he's like that in the house with Jaffe?
It's like,
hey, we're out of coffee!
It's like, any more chicken pot pie? I'd like some more! Chicken pot pie! For the win!
Should have asked Jaffe that we had him. We had him yesterday. We could have asked him.
The best thing about...
Where is the laundry detergent?
I need some more! So the best thing about that whole situation that I didn't even think about was that Jaffe said that at one point they had family come over to the house. Like his wife's family or his or whatever. And they just booted him out. you're
wandering the city aimlessly.
He actually
go find a red roof.
That's exactly what happens. But Jaffe, remember how Jaffe Fraser said, you know, Judd likes to explore Boston. I'm like, okay.
Yeah, right. He likes to. By force. That's right. He likes to hang out like underneath the old bridge.
Yep.
Yeah, you know, he's got a place to stay.
All right,
I mean that whole thing is weird. That whole situation that he's living with Jaffe for that long. Like, I mean, if I knew that I didn't want to move my family here until the season was over, or I'd really have a chance to look around. Like, I would still. That's still like almost a year's worth of time that you are going to be living somewhere. I just, shame alone would say I don't want to stay and impose on someone else's house. I'll get an apartment for a year. Like, for a year, you would do that, right? If it was like 3 or 4 months, I could understand staying in a person's place. But it's like almost an entire year.
I would feel very uncomfortable after about 3 weeks, to be honest with you.
Oh, of course.
I'm Jaffe and him, and Jaffe said this many times, they're very good friends. They have been for a long time. But if I had to live even with my best friend... Yep. I can't.
Amy Lawrence. If you and Amy Lawrence had to live together, yep.
two, three weeks, yep. I'd be out. Yep. I'd move back into the city. Yep. You know,
right. You wouldn't want to live with Amy for more than like a month.
Well, right. I mean,
it would get a little uncomfortable.
You know, when she sleeps, it's a pleasant sound. You know, I mean, I'm sure that's
just wrong. What you're doing, just wrong.
Maybe she needs to borrow Fred's CPAP machine. It sounds like
that's
could be an issue there.
What's wrong with you?
So, right after the headlines, counting down the days. Right after the headlines, we will get to. There's also some other Bruins news. They made a trade yesterday. On top of that, David Price is the gift that keeps on giving. They haven't even played a game yet, and David Price is already the king of spring training quotes.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Sports Hub, it's Toucher and Rich. Speaking of Queens of Stone Age, Nick in the other room knows some people. I guess Natalie Portman is going to be doing something at Boston Calling this year. She's like doing some sort of... could you pop Nick on real quick? Nick,
like a performance, you're saying?
You know what? She was supposed to be there like I think like last year and had to cancel. But I know that she's obviously, you know, got a relationship with Harvard and everything. What is Natalie Portman doing with Boston Calling?
To be honest with you,
I have no idea.
Yeah, it's like she's like on the like schedule for all 3 days. Like
just her SNL rap. Is she just going to do that?
I don't know. I don't
wouldn't
know,
mind that.
It's some sort of like speaking engagement or something, or she's hosting something.
I think she's hosting something. I'm not really sure the details on that. She was supposed to be there last year, but she had to back out last minute. And so
all I know is that she seems all right. Like she seems like someone who'd be cool to hang out with. Like who gets the joke?
Yeah.
So, I mean, just from things I've read about her and stuff that I've seen, look, I know you're trying to get her on the show, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind having her on. I think that she's someone who absolutely gets the joke and would be kind of fun to have in studio if she could do it.
Trying her and a few other people, too.
Who else? So. Who else?
I don't want to ruin. I don't want to spoil anything.
Okay.
Don't worry.
I wouldn't mind having. I mean, listen. If you can get Eminem, I know. I know that he's performing. No, I mean, why is that?
Easy.
I mean, listen. Eminem does radio interviews.
I know he does. You know, I can try.
He does sports interviews. I mean, remember he was in the booth with. What was the college football game that he?
Yeah, it was Musburger
and what's his name?
Yeah, why am I blanking?
I forget.
Kirk Herbstreit.
Yeah, and Kirk Herbstreit
is right. Thank you.
I'm trying for a bunch of people. So,
and Fred and him can shoot Detroit references back and forth. And,
exactly.
You know, and you know, Fred's the street cred.
Yep.
Yeah. So we'll talk about Barry Sanders.
Sure.
And, you know, Lou Whitaker.
Yeah.
He'll like that.
Yeah, so that would be nice. I heard about that Natalie Portman thing. I was like, well, she seems all right. She seems like someone who'd be fun to hang out with. So if we can get her in studio, that would be okay. So the Red Sox, once again, you knew this was going to happen. But before we get to the David Price stuff, so Hanley Ramirez is obviously very happy about the J.D. Martinez signing, and the reason you know that is because he likes to swear when he speaks about him.
And you know, at least 40 homers, you know, and we're trying to win this. So, you know, things that we can get, you know, like him is a good player.
All right, all I heard was a beep, which meant he swore. Everything else, I'm assuming that he's saying very nice things about J.D. Martinez. But yesterday, Bob Nightingale from USA Today went and spoke with David Price. Now, I didn't realize this was the case, but in the article, David Price talks about how he was one of the reasons that J.D. Martinez is coming here. I guess he spoke with him and they had a conversation about what it's like to play in Boston.
David Price sold him. He really talked up Boston and talked up the experience that he loves so much.
Well, from what he
and
said
was
to Bob
so
Nightingale,
convincing right? That J.D. Martinez was like, yeah, sure, I'll sign that.
Yeah, I like that. You know, maybe this might be one of the few places that's actually offering me money. You know, maybe more money than Arizona. So, but you know what? The stuff that David Price said, that's what really...
That'll do it for me.
That's what did it. So this is from the article. It said, Price, you see, was one of the people who persuaded Martinez to sign in Boston. Price and Martinez, former teammates for parts of 2 seasons in Detroit, spoke several times during the winter about the possibility of signing with the Red Sox. They talked extensively just the other day, and Martinez had questions. Price provided answers. Simply, Martinez wanted to know if he could be happy playing in Boston. The biggest fishbowl in baseball, where negativity thrives and the weak get swallowed up like guppies. That is not David Price saying that. That is Bob Nightingale.
That's the elegant prose of Bob Nightingale.
Yes, where he gets swallowed up like guppies. Where else could you have a team win 93 games in back-to-back seasons with 2 consecutive AL East Division titles over the New York Yankees and still be hated by the populace? Once again, they don't mention anything about the playoffs there. Yet instead of telling Martinez or Eckersley, or, I mean, there's a lot of factors to why this team was not liked. Yet instead of telling Martinez to run back to the desert of Arizona or even sitting out until some other team came along, Price gave him the lay of the land and what makes playing in Boston dramatically different. Quote, "It's tough here," Price tells USA Today. "There's just so much negativity. I've never been one for the negative stuff." Cool, man. Sounds like it. "I like surrounding myself by positive people. Even if my wife starts talking negatively, I'll let her know. I just can't stand it." I'm sure she likes that. "I've never been through anything," because women love being told what to say.
I find when I tell my wife to be a little less negative, that usually goes well.
Yeah. Jesus. So that's it always works out. Aces. "I've never been through anything like it," Price says. "There was so much going on, so much. It was a very trying year." Well, a lot of it was caused by you. "If I wasn't making the amount of money I was making, it probably wouldn't have been a big deal, but I'm an easy target. I don't think I would have changed anything last year," Price says. "But I learned the way not to do things. I learned a whole lot. I'm a leader. I need to lead better. I know that." Said, "I'm ready to move on, and I look forward to being just David Price." And then he goes on. I rarely get on social media anymore, Price said. There's nothing but negativity. That's all it is. I could tweet out John 3:16 and I'm going to get crushed. There's no point. Now, a lot of this I agree with him. He goes, no point. I used to really enjoy it, especially Twitter, interacting with everybody. I thought that it was the coolest thing ever. I really enjoyed it. Now I go weeks without even opening Twitter. I can't remember the last time I read mentions or used Twitter for anything, but I definitely miss it. I miss the interactions with the fans, but I'm okay with it. And then he ends it with this. It is different. Different than New York or anywhere else, for sure. I know how tough it's going to be here, but it's tough when things aren't going good. I know that, but I can only imagine how good of a feeling it is when things do go good. I hope we get to the World Series this year. If not, we don't get it this year. We'll get it next year. I want to experience that. And he says, he's talking about Martinez, whether or not he would get booed. He goes, oh, yeah, he'll get booed. I told JD he will love the guys here in this clubhouse, but also told him he'll get booed. He's a quiet, soft-spoken guy, but he'll handle it. Besides, everyone gets booed. I heard Big Poppy get booed many times in Fenway.
Many times.
Mm-hmm.
Many times.
So the okay. So I know that they played each other here a few times, but the one year that Price and Ortiz were on the same team, that was the David Ortiz Love Fest orgy, where it was I'm leaving.
The farewell tour.
Yeah, where it was like there was literally nothing that David Ortiz could have done wrong. And I don't remember once, I could be wrong, once that season where David Ortiz got booed.
I mean, Ortiz has been booed in his tenure in Boston for sure.
Sure.
I don't know that it's been, quote unquote, many times. I don't know that David Price ever witnessed any of it. And you're right. I don't think it possibly could have happened while he was here in his farewell tour. When did he ever get booed?
No.
His last year.
Yeah, I was thinking about that because I had to look back. I was like, it was just one year that they had played. And that was like every day there was like some new celebration for David Ortiz.
It's like, here's a surfboard for you, David.
A chair made out of broken bats.
Yeah, exactly. That was a good one. That was one I'm sure it's featured prominently in his house. Yeah.
Gotta give Price credit. He's trying. It's awkward and sometimes weird, but he's trying.
No.
He is.
And here's the thing that drives me crazy about David Price.
What's he trying?
He's trying to speak well of the organization and the fan base.
See, I think last week.
He's failing, but he's trying.
I think last week he was trying. For like it was like a little half baby step forward on the picnic tables.
So what was he wasn't trying yesterday?
No, yesterday is being David Price and being thin skinned and soft and running to a pet reporter to give his story.
All of that is right, but in his mind, he's trying to play the good soldier. It's backwards and it doesn't work, but he's giving an effort.
Yeah. He's one of those fake positivity people, and what I mean by that is he's a person who says how he wants to be positive and everyone should be positive, all the meanwhile crapping on everything around him.
Yeah.
I don't think he knows.
And
I don't think he knows he's doing it. That's my point.
Oh, either way, it doesn't matter. It's what he's doing. And it's a breed of person that's out there. It's like the person who goes on Facebook and goes, I'm sick of all the negativity. Everyone should be positive. All of you suck for posting negative things. My friends are the worst.
I can't even check my mentions.
Right. It's like, okay, are you going to be positive or are you going to crap on everyone around you? If you're going to be positive, be positive. Just be positive. You know, don't talk about how it's something that you you wish was more around you and then continue to crap on everything, right, including the fans, right, including the media.
You know, it was great. My college coach, he was the best. All these other managers suck.
Yeah.
They're all so negative. They're all so mean.
It's true. And that's one thing that drives me crazy about David Price and the fact that, like, through all of this, and I know the Eckersley thing keeps coming up, but it's a big deal. That was a big deal last year. I mean, from that moment on, it was a dark cloud over the organization. The team became unlikable.
Yeah.
And it stinks that David Price is a guy that everyone's going to be looking at as being the voice of the locker room because A, he speaks more than anybody else. That's the number one thing.
He's not going anywhere.
No, and he's not. Well, I mean, we don't know if he's not going anywhere.
If you take him at his word, he's not going anywhere.
Sure, of course. And maybe that's part of the whole positive thing he's trying to throw out there. But if you're going to be positive, shut up and be positive. Don't be positive. Don't be fake positive.
You
say you're positive and then you continue to crap on everything around you.
You want everyone to be positive to you, but then you're just a negative cloud.
Sure. Now, if he truly wants to be a leader, like the one thing he said about social media, if I was an athlete and I had, as much money as he has, I would never be on social media. Like, there's no reason for it. There, people say it expands your brand or whatever. That's good to a point if you're someone who's trying to get to a point where you can make a ton of money on endorsements. But you don't need it. You don't need to be checking that stuff. If you're a baseball player and you feel it mentally affects your game or really any sport, why? What's the benefit?
Well, when he says he liked it, you know what he liked about it.
being told how great he is?
Yes, exactly.
But that's everyone.
Because he used to be kind of the, I don't know if edgy is the right word, but like the athlete who put himself out there and he was kind of funny and people kind of gave him credit for that.
Yeah.
Then he got to Boston and we're like, shut up with the stupid social media.
Yeah.
And now he doesn't like the commentary around his social media. He says he used to love it. He just loved the way people talked about him on there, like he was some revolutionary.
And it stinks, too, because I like when athletes are open and talk and do that. But it gets to a point where you got to have thick skin to be able to do that. We said that about Amy Lawrence, really. Like, I mean, if you are going to be somebody who puts it out there, you're going to get some blowback. But,
yeah, especially here.
Especially here, in this town. Now, for him to, by the way, to say that Boston is worse than New York, I mean, that's insane. I mean, they're both known as places where if you screw up,
Boston,
they're going to come after you.
New York, Philly, they're all similar.
They're all similar. And for him to just single out Boston being worse than any of them, dude, you got to calm down, man. I mean, you don't have...
We did boo David Ortiz relentlessly in his final year when he was here in Boston. That was, I thought, pretty shameful of us.
That was a little strange. But, hey, listen, they haven't even thrown a first pitch yet. I mean, there hasn't been a game yet, and you're already getting this from David Price. So get ready. Vroom, 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 motorcycle. The David Price motorcycle of doom is zooming. Revving up, baby. Vroom, 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 vroom. Here we go. Alright, just buckle up, because here it comes. Alright, we will get to so much more. There's some weird stuff that went on with the Dallas Mavericks overnight. A big article about how awful the organization behind the scenes is. Also, Fred this morning is laughing because once again, a pretty bad blow has been given to one of his arch nemesis. Hmm. And we will get to so much more right after this.
Stay tuned for more Toucher and Rich, 98.5 Sports Hub.
Terry set it, picked up, drops it all for it, and off the shot, he scores! His fifth of the Olympics!
All right, 98.5 is Sports Hub. It's Toucher and Rich. Adam Jones is here for Fred. So the U.S. men's hockey team was eliminated last night by the Czech Republic in a shootout, but not before. Bruins prospect and really the star of the U.S. Olympic hockey team, Ryan Donato, scored again. Is that his fourth or fifth? Fifth of the Olympics.
Fifth in five games.
How about that? So how long until this kid is either A, in a Bruins sweater, or B, is dangled as trade bait, seeing that his value is probably about as high as it's going to get right now?
No, they'll sign him. They won't trade him.
Okay.
They won't trade him. He's going to be a left wing on some line.
That's not a bad idea while the trade value is up. That's not a bad idea.
I mean,
like, is he ever going to be more valuable than right now?
Doesn't seem like it. I mean, think about that. I mean, everyone's talking about him. Everyone's going to get caught up in the fact that even though he's playing against NHL players who are either too old to play in the NHL anymore, or they've been phased out, still on a national stage, you went out there and you were the star of your team.
If you're a rebuilding team, that's an easy thing to sell to a fan base. Not only, hey, he's a good prospect, but oh, he's an American hero. He scored five goals in the Olympics.
Sure.
This is a great get. I mean, that's an easy sell if you're acquiring him.
Yeah, well, right. How many times do you see a trade for a prospect and you're like, who?
Right.
And you got to do a bunch of research on this guy.
You're like, Donato. This guy had five goals in the Olympics. Yeah. Easy.
Boom.
Maybe you know his dad's name. That helps.
Sure. Right. So that seems like an easy sell. And you're right. I mean, right now his value is not going to get much higher. But
the depth in the organization is defensively, not up front. They need as many young wingers and forwards as they can lay their hands on.
What if he helps you get something at the NHL level that helps?
What if it's
an NHL wing?
So you think that?
I just think it's an interesting idea. Like, that's just, I hadn't thought about it that way. Like, his value is probably never going to be higher. So I it's not like I wouldn't take calls on him.
Well, I'm not saying he's untouchable, but what I am saying is I would keep him. Since we're forming opinions on this right now, I would keep him because youth up front is something the Bruins don't have at the minor league level, or guys that can fill in. You know what I'm saying? I mean, they dealt a defenseman yesterday. They can do that. They have a preponderance of young defensemen at Providence. What they don't have is young forwards. They have Zarnik, who's been up and down, but really it's been great at the AHL level, but not at the NHL level. I'd drop Donato in and see what he could do with the NHL team before I make any decisions.
Speaking of the minor league level, did you see who was skating with the Providence Bruins
yesterday?
Yes,
I did.
Jerome Iginla.
Yeah.
4 months after having hip surgery, he was down with the Providence Bruins. He was asked about what he was doing with the team, and his answer was, I still have to play. This is kind of the first step.
getting out here and seeing how it is. I wanted to see if I could still go. I don't have any deals at this point. Listen, I have no idea how good he would possibly be. I just think I'm getting a little caught up in the old member berries of when he was getting on the line with, what was it, like a Krejci, Milan, was it Milan Lucic?
Yeah.
And the guy, I mean, you know, it's like, oh,
remember
it felt so
Jerome
good. Remember how, like, he was being, they were fighting over Pittsburgh, and yeah. Then, you know, the,
oh, remember Ginla?
Remember that t-shirt? It was like, this little Iggy went to Title Town. Yeah. You know? So, I mean, I don't, it was just weird. It was a story that kind of came out of nowhere randomly, and I think he lives in Brookline.
Well, so that's what I was just going to ask. So he still makes a home here? Because that would make a lot more sense.
I think so. I think, and so, I mean, that's one reason, obviously, not to really read much into it, but it's kind of interesting, isn't it?
I mean, yes. I think if he, this is a team, to Wallach's point, I mean, they need some forward depth, if you will. Like, yeah. I don't think you ideally want him in really any of your top four lines. He's coming back from hip surgery, hasn't played in forever.
He's 40.
He's old.
Sure.
Yes. Yeah. But, you know, we saw how quickly injuries can pop up with the Bruins last year defensively. I don't know, if you lose two or three forwards and he's in shape and he's skating in Providence, is he the worst guy to bring in as a 12th forward if you're down a couple of guys? I don't think so. I don't think it's a bad thing to keep your options open.
I also don't think the team is devoid of leadership right now. And a guy like Ginla, usually you could stick in there with a veteran and he could teach, basically be the recce, you know what I mean, of a new generation. But they don't really need that right now. They seem to have tons of it with Char and Bergeron and Marchand, for that matter, too. I mean, he, as dirty a player as he is, he's looked upon as a leader of this team.
I don't think they're lacking the veteran leadership. I'm with you. Backus is another good one.
Sure, Backus. Yeah, I mean, so they don't need that part of it. It was just a neat story that I saw yesterday, and I'm like, yeah, and all of a sudden I started to get all the feels, even though they ended up not finishing it, that year.
Yeah.
Even though it ended in disaster.
Right, it's like kind of fun.
The memories
are kind of fun, and then you're like, oh, remember they blew the Stanley Cup?
Right, remember?
You're like, oh, no, that's a bad memory.
It's like
sorry.
Two goals in like, what, less than a minute or whatever?
Yeah, right.
Game six.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Remember Tuca couldn't stop anything?
Yeah, that's when you got Char on the old Red Rooster of Doom up there at Canopy Lake Park.
Next
greatest
day.
Greatest picture of all
the next day.
Time.
It was
just
really
the greatest sad. Photo. It's still to this day, every once in a while, I'll just pull that one up and I'll just sit there and I'll just laugh.
You're like,
You know what? Even Chara has to
just
do dumb
lost
dad
the Stanley Cup in the most gut-wrenching way possible. Right. Let's go to Canopy Lake Park.
That's like a visual image of Wallach next Thursday.
Sure.
It's just he's the
trapped in the Rooster of Doom.
Yeah, he's trapped in the Rooster of Doom with Amy Lawrence in the building.
That's right.
Yeah.